In the last 2 weeks, talked about the Spirit in service, the ministry of the filling of the Holy Spirit, or maybe I should put it in a different way. With all of my faults and my failures, with all of my sins, with all of the flesh that is still with me, how can I live a Christian life? There's only one answer. that is through and by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way. Now, we talked about the Spirit in service. We talked about the works of the Spirit as held forth in Galatians 5 and 22. And this morning I want to go to the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John and verse 12 through 15. Jesus is speaking. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now we are entering into the highest realm of knowable truth. We are entering into the pinnacle, the top, the very peak of spiritual knowledge. Now, we must understand that almost all believers remain on a level far below this point. And again, let me say with Paul the Apostle, not that I have already attained, neither am I already perfect, but I with you press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. We stand learners or disciples together. And as I study and as I speak to you, I also speak to myself and am learning with you the great truths that God has revealed in his word. This, you know, this is a fathomless book. There is no bottom. And God deals not with the natural phenomena of life, but he deals with spiritual, comparing things spiritual with spiritual. So we enter this higher realm of knowable truth, the highest realm. All things that the Father hath are mine. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Grasp the depth of that thought. Take a hold of it in the jaws of your mind and begin to chew on it. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Everything that God owns, everything that God controls, every thought that God has ever entertained, every word that God has ever spoken, everything that God has ever created, whether it be things in earth or whether it be things in heaven, All things that the Father has are mine. So said our Lord Jesus Christ. They're mine. Now he says the Holy Spirit will take that which is mine, that is, the all things that the Father has, all things that are God, the Holy Spirit is going to take and show it to you. That makes me realize the infancy of my Christian experience. That makes me realize what a babe in Christ I really am. That makes me all the more conscious of my total inadequacy. And yet here God is speaking of sovereign grace through the Holy Spirit. He will take the things that are God's, all of these things, all of the great and marvelous creations and thoughts of the mind of God. He shall take these things, the Spirit shall take them, you will take them. For a man cannot find out God by study. You cannot find God by study. This was Job's lament. Can a man find out God? The answer is no. No man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him, so said Christ. It's a matter of spiritual revelation. It's a matter of seeing with a non-human eye. It doesn't find, spiritual life does not find its source in human ability or in our ability to be good, to be spiritual, to be kind, to live at peace, to be long-suffering, to be gentle. This is not found in the realm of human experience. It comes in from the outside, as you've heard me say so many times before, that it comes through being born again, not of corruptible things. Such as silver and gold received by vain conversation or behavior from your fathers, it comes by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So he is to take, according to the words of Jesus, in this great sovereign ability of grace that God has retained for himself, he shall take of the things of mine, and he's going to show them to you. Now this includes also, in verse 13, things to come. He will show you things to come. That great and vast area that is unknown, God, through his Spirit of revelation and the Word of God, is to show us things to come. Down in Charleston, they have you drive by in the by streets of Charleston on some of the back streets, on one of the main streets, and you see the fortune teller sign, you know, the palm readers. They got the big palm out, Madam something or other, palm reader. It's surprising the people that frequent, even in this modern age, the soothsayers and the diviners of spirits, the makers of magic, the palm readers and the tea leaf readers. They're not much removed from the old Romans. They're not very much removed from that superstition when they killed a chicken and took its innards out and looked at its innards to find out what the future was through the guts of a chicken. Not much removed from that. The old Cherokee Indian tribes had the bone readers. They took a little handful of bones and they rattled them like dice and they threw them on the ground. And then the shaman looked at the pattern in which the bones fell, and he foretold the future from the way the bones fell that he threw on the ground. Not much different. People are still seeking out these fortune tellers, these predictors of the future, to find out what their future is. You know, the Holy Spirit has taken of the things of God, and he has shown me, and he has shown you the things to come, so far as your life is concerned. That's right. You know that as a Christian, as a child of God, as a believer in the Word of God and in the person of Jesus Christ, you know, and by the way, that's a Christian. You know that? One who accepts the Word of God as truth and believes in Jesus Christ, that's a Christian. Right? Sure, that's true. That's a Christian. And if you believe the Bible and you believe Jesus Christ, today you're a Christian. You may not be a very strong Christian. You may not have much knowledge. You may not have grown very much. But you're a Christian if that has been accomplished, if that is the condition of your heart. So as a Christian, you know the future. You know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. You know that nothing bad can happen to you. You know that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. You know that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But you also know that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And you know that you must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to the deeds done in the flesh. But you know also that this has nothing to do with your eternal judgment. You know that that has been taken care of in the person of Christ, and that he died for you, and that your final home is in the kingdom of God, which is Christ. You know that. So you know the future. We know, too, that world society cannot succeed. We know, too, that the minions of this world, the kings and the presidents, the prime ministers and the rulers of this world's darkness, cannot succeed in their efforts to bring world peace and world unity. I don't care how many miles Kissinger travels. He just ain't gonna make it. Now, how much he stands before microphones and grins as if all's right with the world. All isn't right with the world. This world is in a tailspin. And this continuing trouble in the Middle East is not going to be solved. I said at the supper table the other night, I'm waiting. I'm waiting now, not anticipating, but I'm waiting now until the armies of the world begin to move toward Palestine. That is going to happen. So the Word of God says, and when the armies of Palestine, or when the armies of the world begin to move toward Palestine, I know that Jesus Christ's coming is at hand. All of world attention is focusing against up to this little country, this little nation. So he has taken the things to come and hath showed them unto us. It's all revealed right here. A total and a complete revelation in the Word of God. So study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's here for all to know. So in this higher realm of noble truth, it goes beyond the whole realm and range of human knowledge. over in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians in verse 12. Paul writes and says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Let me repeat myself. This goes beyond the range of human knowledge. Now, you know, we've got it all figured out. What was that statement, you know, we heard on one of those documentaries on television the other night? That man with his knowledge of science will not only conquer the universe, but will also conquer all of the failures of mankind. That was somebody talking about this linking up of these two spaceships up here next week. He's going to conquer all of the failures of humankind with their knowledge. Now, what does Paul say? "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." And this is beyond all the range of human knowledge. "This is that which eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what God hath prepared for them that love him." And that's quoted, and they put a period there. They don't read on. The preachers who preach it thusly are saying that what God has prepared for the child of God, for the believer in sovereign grace, is unknowable. But if you read the following verse, you'll find out that it doesn't say that at all. "Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what God hath prepared for them that love him, but it hath appeared unto us." We know, beyond all the range of human knowledge, what God has prepared for us. It is revealed to spiritual Christians. Now, Paul, in his writing, did not speak to everybody. You know that? He did not preach to everybody. So that when I stand here this morning, I cannot preach to everybody. I can say with the Lord Jesus Christ, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." But I can't speak to everyone. Paul said in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able." So Paul said, "I could not speak to you in spiritual language." Paul spoke to some in this language. They were born again. They possessed the Holy Spirit and were possessed of him. Others, with their fleshly way of life, could not receive the things preached to them from the deep things of God. There are a lot of people who read the Bible. There are a lot of people who look upon this book as a sort of a talisman, as a good luck charm. They keep it. There's nothing wrong with it, you know. They keep it laying out on the table in the living room. They don't put anything on top of it. They treat it reverently and in a holy fashion. Back in World War II, didn't hear much of it in Korea or in Vietnam. But back in World War II, there were a lot of New Testaments passed out, you know, with metal covers. You were to wear that in your breast pocket over here of your blouse, so that a bullet could not pierce your heart through the Bible. They ain't never seen one of them bullets, I guess. And besides, your heart ain't over here, friend. It's here. And so back from the wars came all the stories about the New Testament blocking the deadly bullet that would have taken my life. And it stopped right on John 3:16. This is a book made out of paper and leather or cardboard, whichever kind you have. Paper, leather, thread, cardboard, and ink. That's all. As a book, it's a book like any other book. This song book, that book laying over, any book, just a book. It's the contents that makes the difference. It is the word written, the word spoken, which is the living word of God. Not the book itself. There are many people who read the Bible and it remains a closed book. It's read as a duty, if it's read at all. Yet through this book alone are we as human beings able to reach beyond the grim, gray, drab misery which is mankind's lot throughout the whole earth. I don't care whether you're in the United States or whether you're in the Middle East or Africa or where you are. Mankind's lot is a miserable existence. Because he just comes from infancy and childhood where he's subjected to all kind of tortures and feelings and conflicts. He enters into, quote, adulthood, unquote. There he enters into a time of labor and concern and worry and work to the extent sometimes he doesn't know whether he can straighten his back up for another day. His mind is almost boggled down with concerns of just living, and he doesn't get turned around to spit with the wind until he's an old man and crippled up and ready to die. And he's prone to sit down and say, what's it all about anyway? I just started to be alive and now I'm come down to die. The book's got the answer. That without Christ, you are already dead while you live. And the only life that we have is in Christ. It's through this book alone that we can reach beyond this picture and touch the infinite hand and mind of God. So, the unknown and the unknowable becomes a part of our lives. I would like to go on for this morning. My time is nearly up. But I want to say this, that not only does the Spirit teach, but the Spirit promotes praise and thanksgiving. And this is another evidence. Over in Ephesians, I'll take the time to turn there. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, Paul speaks of those, in verse 18, he speaks of the other Gentiles who are not Christian, who have not known Christ and who do not know Christ. He said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now we believe, therefore, that all things are working together for good. So the believer, filled with the Spirit, finds it possible to give thanks.